South Korea ousts another president.
I declare that the impeachment motion of Prime Minister Han Duck-soo was passed.
The Korean chaos comes at a time when South Korea has stepped up on the world stage.
We're talking about a protracted period of political dysfunction in the 13th largest economy in the world, one of the most prominent democracies in Asia. Not ideal at all.
Today is Friday, December 27th, and this is The Issue from VOA. I'm Scott Walterman in Washington. Members of South Korea's parliament just screaming at the podium during a session that ended by impeaching acting president Han Duck-soo on Friday, less than 2 weeks after suspending President Yoon Suk-yeol in his powers over his short-lived declaration of martial law. As we hear in this report from Reuters correspondent Alice Rizzo, it has plunged the country deeper into political chaos.
South Korea's National Assembly Speaker Woo Won-sik.
I declare that the impeachment motion of Prime Minister Han Duck-soo was passed, with 192 votes out of 192 votes cast.
The motion, led by opposition parties, passed with no opposing votes after the ruling People Power Party boycotted the ballot. This latest impeachment plunges South Korea deeper into the political chaos triggered by Yoon's short-lived declaration of martial law. The South Korean won currency plunged to the lowest since March 2009 amid turmoil. The main opposition Democratic Party unveiled a plan to impeach Han on Thursday after he declined to immediately appoint three justices to fill vacancies at the Constitutional Court. Han had said it would exceed his powers as acting president. As the next in line under the law, Finance Minister Choi Sang-mok now assumes the acting presidency. The impeachment also took place on the day that Yoon faced the first hearing in a case that will determine his fate. South Korea's Constitutional Court is to determine whether to overturn his impeachment and reinstate him, or remove him permanently from office. Pro and anti-Yoon groups held separate rallies outside. Yoon was not required to attend Friday's hearing. If he is ousted, a new presidential election would be held within 60 days.
Reuters correspondent Alice Rizzo. Now, Han's impeachment not only further deepens South Korea's political crisis, but it also has huge implications outside its borders, as South Korea is a major player on the world stage, a role that has been increasing lately. So let's talk about this. Joining us now, we're very lucky to have Victor Cha, president of the Geopolitics and Foreign Policy Department and Korea Chair at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He was appointed in 2021 by the Biden administration to serve on the Defense Policy Board in an advisory role to the Secretary of Defense. And from 2004 to 2007, he served on the National Security Council and was responsible for Japan, Korea, Australia, New Zealand, and Pacific Island nations. So thank you so very much for being able to join us and talk about this.
My pleasure.
So tell us what's happened the latest. The first acting president has been now impeached following the impeachment of the president. How did that happen?
So essentially, this is an effort by the opposition party to remove from office the acting president, former prime minister, acting president, because of his unwillingness to approve the appointment of three new judges to the Constitutional Court that would then decide on the impeachment, the first impeachment, the impeachment of the original president, President Yoon. So this is a political crisis that seems to just get deeper and deeper with no clear end in sight.
Yeah, the assembly sort of fell apart today because first they changed the vote where you needed 200 votes to impeach Yoon, and now for Han it was 151, even though eventually 196 voted to impeach. But then their own party, the ruling party, boycotted the vote, and then they just started screaming at each other.
Yeah, it's the political discussions and debates are getting more and more physical as emotions are getting higher and higher, and the crisis is continuing to deepen. I mean, I think the most important and worrying thing is that there's political dysfunction in this country at this moment, with no clear end in sight, at a time when there were a lot of things that Korea was doing in the region and on the world stage that were very helpful and appreciated by the rest of the world. And all of that, I think, is now on hold until they figure out what's happening at home and who's going to lead the country.
You mean as it relates to North Korea's sudden expansion of relations with China and Russia?
Yes, but South Korea itself was improving relations with Japan. It was improving trilateral relations with the United States and Japan and South Korea. It was participating in important supply chains having to do with semiconductors and electric vehicle batteries. It was providing support in Ukraine. They were participating in the G7, in NATO summit meetings. They were really playing a big role on the world stage, and I think this political crisis has kind of put all that on hold for now. And again, you know, if you sort of look at the timetable here, the likelihood of a new president coming into Korea might be at earliest midsummer, which is a long time from now.
So we'll get back to that in a second, but how did we get here? I mean, we know that the trigger for all of this was the declaration of martial law, but that didn't come out of nowhere. Where did that come from?
So I would say the roots of this started back in the spring of this past year, spring of 2024, when the opposition party won a resounding victory in South Korea's midterm elections, giving them an even bigger majority in the legislature. They then blocked everything that the ruling party and the government was trying to do in terms of all legislation and the national budget. In addition to that, there was political battles taking place where the opposition party was going after the First Lady of South Korea for possible corruption charges. And the ruling party and the government were going after the leader of the opposition also for corruption charges. And so I think this all spiraled into a decision by President Yoon back in early December to declare martial law.
And that went badly for him. He got impeached. Now, that impeachment is still in progress, as you mentioned. There is a court, right? The Constitutional Court has to decide his actual fate, whether or not he will be impeached and suspended or returned or be allowed to return.
That's right. Once the legislature votes on impeachment, the Constitutional Court then has 6 months to decide whether that motion is constitutional or not. In 2004, South Korea impeached the president, and the Constitutional Court overrode that impeachment, and so he went back to work. In 2017, the legislature impeached the South Korean president, and the court upheld that, and that president was impeached and expelled. And so with the current president, President Yoon, we will see what the Constitutional Court decides.
And then that was what the row was with his temporary replacement, the acting president, because they wanted him to appoint specific judges to this court?
Yes, there's right now the Constitutional Court usually has 9 judges. There are 3 vacancies right now. There are 3 slated people to fill those roles. but the acting president refused to endorse it unless it was something that was agreed on by both the ruling and the opposition parties.
Mm. So now who takes over from him?
So who has replaced him is the deputy prime minister, who is also the finance minister. Choi Sang-mok is the current acting president of Korea.
And so he's third in line in the succession?
Yes, apparently so. I did not know, but apparently
So, I assume the same thing can happen to him. I mean, is there really an end in sight to this?
Well, this is the thing that concerns me, because he will be faced with the same decision that acting President Han did, which is the opposition party calling for the acting president to approve the three slated to fill out the bench of the Constitutional Court, the last three seats. And if he chooses not to, as his predecessor did, then I'm sure the legislature will try to impeach him as well.
You know, when you were describing the acrimony between the two parties, I couldn't help myself. I was thinking, wow, it sounds like us in the United States. The two parties just hate each other so much that this could easily happen here, too.
Well, I mean, there are similarities. I mean, Korea is a vibrant and rambunctious democracy, just like our own democracy in the United States. And the use of impeachments, I think, is much more, we've seen much more use of impeachment in South Korea than we've seen in the United States. But of course, it's not unprecedented in both countries.
Let's get back to what you were talking about in terms of South Korea's role on the world stage and how it's been growing and how this is going to disrupt it. It, particularly in a region of the world where there's a lot at play right now, China, North Korea, Vietnam, you know, it's a very active political stew, isn't it?
Yes, there is a lot going on in terms of Russia, North Korea cooperation in Ukraine. Russians providing a great deal of energy, food, fuel, possibly nuclear technology to North Korea in return for our North Korean troops and North Korean ammunition. China is much more assertive in the region and has tighter relations with Russia as well and with North Korea. And then, of course, the United States has a new president coming into office on January 20th, 21st, and there won't be a president in South Korea who he can talk to.
And, you know, I remember that there was tension between South Korea and the United States during the first Trump administration, particularly over the amount of money that the United States military spends on the peninsula.
Yes, there was a disagreement back then where there's something called the Special Measures Agreement, which is basically a cost-sharing agreement between the United States and South Korea that determines how much the South Korean government will pay for the non-personnel costs of U.S. forces in Korea. It's generally about $1 billion, and Trump wanted $5 billion. Now he wants $10 billion the second time around. And so that's clearly going to be something that will be an obstacle in the relationship. But again, there won't be a government, or there at least won't be a president that's not an acting president or an interim president in South Korea, probably until the summer of 2025.
And what's the process for that? Let's say that the court upholds the impeachments. Is there an election, or how does that happen?
If the court upholds the impeachment, then there's a 2-month campaign period and a snap election for the next president of the United States. And that next president doesn't have a transition period. The day after they're elected, they take office. So even then, even if they took office in the summer, they still would need time to sort of, you know, get themselves set up, appoint all of their cabinet ministers, all the other things you would expect in a transition. So that, you know, well, again, we're talking about a protracted period of political dysfunction in the 13th largest economy in the world, one of the most prominent democracies in Asia. Not ideal at all.
There's talk that one of the reasons that North Korea sent troops to Ukraine was to build experience on the battlefield. And then, of course, the next thought after that was to be used in a potential battle with South Korea. You know, a lot of people don't know, they don't remember, they never knew. That war never ended. It's just paused.
That's right. The Korean War never ended. It was hostilities were ceased with an armistice, a ceasefire, in July of 1953, and it's sort of been in that state since, and there is no peace treaty between the two sides. And yes, I mean, North Korea sent these troops in part for them to gain combat experience, but as we're seeing from the press reports, many of them are being killed in action. But the other reason I think the North Koreans sent them is to cement this new alliance with Russia that is of the same sort of clarity and commitment that we saw during the Cold War between North Korea and the Soviet Union.
In this period of chaos in the South, is there a real danger with North Korea's instability and newfound, confidence with Russia behind it?
I think it's certainly, the longer this goes on, I think it's certainly something to be worried about. Right now, the North Koreans have been sitting back and kind of watching what is happening in South Korea. But the longer this goes on and the more confidence North Korea has from the security guarantee from Russia, it could cause them to overstep or overreach and do something that could spark tensions on the peninsula.
Hmm. Thank you so much for the insight. The info is overwhelming. We'll be keeping an eye on this. Would love to talk to you again as it develops.
Okay. Thank you.
Victor Cha, president of the Geopolitics and Foreign Policy Department and Korea Chair at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. There are more than 28,000 U.S. troops stationed in South Korea. A U.S. official said on Friday that Washington is closely monitoring the situation. You've been listening to The Issue from The Voice of America. On behalf of everyone here at VOA, both here in Washington and in our stations all over the world, thank you so much for spending this time with us. You can follow The Issue on X and Blue Sky and Facebook at VOA The Issue. And for news 24/7, go to our website, voanews.com. In Washington, I'm Scott Walterman.